The Australian Open on In Play Radio.
Yeah, welcome along. This is the Australian Open podcast from William Hill. We're at the semi-final stages of the Australian Open, and we're going to have a chat about the men's semis and, of course, the women's as well. Four cracking matches to look forward to, and we're going to preview them in the company of Nick Lester as usual. Hi, Nick. You well?
Very well, thanks. Yeah, looking forward to this.
Yeah, really good tournament so far, isn't it? It's been really entertaining, what with the upsets and the matches that we've seen so far. We'll do the men's first, if that's all right with you. We'll have a little chat, maybe have a little chat about the outrights at the end of it or as we go through them. Let's start off with Thomas Berdych versus Andy Murray. This is 8:30 a.m. UK time on Thursday morning. 6-5 Berdych. Murray is 4-6. Interesting, you know, there's a backstory here, isn't there, that's kind of dominating in the tennis journalist world anyway, and that's the current coach for Berdych, of course, was a major part of Andy Murray's team. Murray's playing it down, understandably. When you look at the head-to-heads as well, Nick, Berdych has got the edge on Murray. Murray, you would say more latterly, has got the edge on hard courts. He beat him in the ATP a couple of seasons ago in US Open semi-final, although Berdych won the last meeting in Cincinnati in 2013. From what I've seen of Murray, he looks a stronger player mentally this time round.
Yeah, you know, I think I said at the start of the week that he needed a good year. He needed a good major more than anything else, because it was very disappointing last year overall. And, you know, I think he needed this week, this 10 days so far, to come out and say, you know what, this is what I'm still about. I'm not going anywhere. My goal is to get better and improve, and I am a major contender again. And I, even to be honest, I think whatever happens in this match, he's done that again. You know, I think he's kind of, his game has suggested that for the rest of the year, onwards and upwards for him. Because you know, as I said, it was a very disappointing year last year. His game didn't improve, and I think the turn of the year has seen this Murray come back refreshed, hungry. The game's there again. The mind, probably more importantly, is there again. In fact, the most important part for me is the mind for him. And you know, it's working nicely. And you know, I think if you were to give a grade for him so far the tournament and rate the best players we've seen at the tournament so far, Murray is, for me, probably the standout player. Djokovic was great today, but I think Murray has been the most impressive player, I think, so far on the men's draw.
Berdych is, he's been to one Grand Slam final. That was Wimbledon 2010. So he's never quite been able to make the transition, has he, in these matches? Whereas Murray generally doesn't have much problem. I mean, in Melbourne, this is his fifth semi-final. Obviously, never won the title. And even if he gets through this, he's going to have a tough competitor in the last match. How do you see it going, Nick?
Well, the head-to-head's fascinating, as you say, because Berdych leads it. I think if you cut through the head-to-head in a little more detail, and you perhaps pick, if you like, cherry-pick the most important matches. And I go back to the US Open semi-final where Murray won in four on a very windy day down there. You go back to the World Tour finals. This is where it's so important. Murray won in three on that occasion. The last couple of occasions, Berdych has won. Cincinnati 2013. Wouldn't read a lot into that. Murray having won Wimbledon just obviously a few weeks before that. So no big deal for me there. Listen, Berdych looks to me to have improved in the off-season. Hiring a new coach was a significant factor. I think there's a number of reasons for that. 29 years of age, I think he's looking at 30. I think he's also looking and saying, well, hold on, if Marin Cilic and Stan Wawrinka are winning majors, what the hell am I doing? Why am I still in this situation where I haven't improved? And I admire that. I think that was a brave move. I think the second serve's improved of his, and the forehand's improved. Two aspects of his game that have improved. If it's going to be enough to beat Murray, I'm not sure. You know, as I've said 100 times over the years, Murray is the best mover for me in the game. And I think he's level with Djokovic in that regard. I think he is such a hard guy to try and put the ball away against. You've got to be so patient. One interesting stat, I think, of the tournament so far, if you look at it, is that Berdych's actually got the best winners to unforced errors ratio of anyone in the men's draw this event. And that's quite a significant fact, because that obviously means that he's being patient. He's being patient, but he's also waiting for his opportunity. He's going to need to do that against Murray, no doubt about it. Obviously, he's going to look to try and pick his opportunities. I do think this has got the makings of a long one. I really do. I'd be very surprised if this was three sets. I think this has got at least four in it. I'm staying with Murray. I just think he's got a more all-round game still than Burdick. But Burdick, certainly, I think at the price, 11 to 10, did you say something like that? I think it's some good value. He has to be on the head-to-head because he has beaten Murray in the past.
Yeah, a little bit bigger, 6-5. There's a few ways of playing this. We've got quite a few markets available on the website right now for each of the semi-finals. If you want to try and play a correct score, then Murray to win 3-1 is 3-1. Murray to win 3-2 is 9-2. You can play the total match game. So over 41.5 games is the mark. Under 41 is 5-6. Over 41.5 is 5-6. So, I mean, you're looking, obviously, if you've got a, if you think it's going to go long in each set, a 7-5 gives you 12 games straight off the bat. So yeah, if you're looking at a long match, it might, you know, people might quite like that. There's handicap betting as well, of course, and the this is a bet that people have been playing quite a lot this time. The match result and both players to win a set, so Murray to win but Burdick to get a set, 11-8, and the other way around, Burdick to win but Murray to have won a set is priced up at 7-4. Interesting. Well, number of sets in the match as well.
Yeah, there are. And I think also one other thing to say as well, there's a strong argument to be made here that Murray actually hasn't needed to play his best tennis against anyone yet. I mean, the draw's been kind. The first three rounds was a cruise and then Kyrgios in the quarters. You know, he hasn't really played, with all due respect, anyone of this quality so far. I think that's fair to say. Whereas Burdick obviously has gone through without dropping a set as well. So for both guys, it's a pretty, I would say, large step up in test of what's to come. So, you know, have we seen Murray tested so far at this tournament? Probably not, to be fair. So again, if you're looking to play the odds, I think that's when I think you could probably say, well, you know, you're certainly giving Burdick a significant chance here. I'll stay with Murray purely on the basis that I just think he can outmaneuver Burdick. I think he has the variety to change the pace, and Burdick's going to have to play, you know, more than patient tennis. He's going to have to play aggressive but patient tennis, wait for his opportunity. And Murray loves his condition. So I've got to stick with Murray. But I think Burdick, you know, is a lively outsider here. It's a very tough one to call, but I'm staying with Murray in four.
Yeah. The other thing that was impressive in the Kyrgios match was his first serve. He just racked up so many games to love and to 15 throughout the match. It was incredible how dominant he was on his serve as well. Let's look at the other semi-final. Your favourite for the tournament against the winner last year, Novak Djokovic versus Stan Wawrinka. Djokovic is 2-9, Wawrinka 100-30. A lot of people talking about backing Wawrinka on the outrights to win the actual tournament at the price, because if he gets through this match, then he's back in the final again. And of course, he did it last year, and last year's run was tougher than this year. I mean, he put out Djokovic in the quarterfinals, had Burdick in the semis, then beat Nadal, of course, in the finals. So he's back there again. In racing parlance, course and distance is something that is always taken into consideration. Djokovic has looked good though, Nick, hasn't he? You know, not dropped a set. Whether you think he was brilliant or Raonic was off colour, I don't suppose it really matters, but he just keeps delivering, doesn't he, Novak Djokovic?
Yeah, I think it's one of those cases that he made Raonic go off colour, you know what I mean? I just think he nullified everything that Raonic does well. Raonic creates pressure, obviously, by serving big, and, you know, it's funny because had he been able to take a couple of opportunities in the first set, it could well have been a very different story. But, of course, once Djokovic just got the opening set under his belt, the big server then suddenly feels the pressure and he was able to roll in from there. But, you know, the big number for me so far this tournament is Djokovic has only, I think, lost serve once in five matches.
Unbelievable.
Talk about Djokovic not being a particularly big server. But, you know, I think he's trying to use a bit more width on the serve. He's trying to just outmaneuver opponents and get that first strike in a little better, which has been something he's been able to do. Talk of Wawrinka, I mean, you know, I agree with everything you said, but, and I also would have to add to that, I think he's a better player than he was a year ago. You know, I think he's a more relaxed player than he was a year ago. He came in here a year ago having not won a major. He ended last year, obviously, as a champion, a Davis Cup winner as well. And he started the year very, very quickly. And I was a little surprised by how much he dominated Kai Nishikori. I must say, I thought Nishikori would put up a stronger showing than that. But you know, Wawrinka can blow holes in anyone. He has a game that can beat anyone from the back of the court. He can outmaneuver you. And Djokovic saw it coming, or perhaps didn't see it coming last year. And that could be the decisive thing for me. I think Novak knows what's coming now. I just have a feeling that he's going to be aware of the situation. He beat him in the Barclays ATP World Tour Finals last year pretty comfortably. Again, different surface. But I just think Djokovic is going to be alive to this one. I don't think he's going to be stung twice. I think he's going to go to four, but I've got to stick with Djokovic. He was my man at the start of the tournament. I'm not going away from that, and especially having seen the way he played against Raonic today, you know, the length he's keeping on the ball. You know, one thing, obviously, for Wawrinka is he wants to try and get on top of the ball early, and Djokovic can stifle you in that regard. He makes it so hard to attack you. So, for me, my money's on Djokovic. I think overall, I think he's going to be a little too solid, and I'll go with him in four.
The interesting thing, I was looking back at that match like last year in the quarterfinals of the Australian Open, and it was a five setter, but it was a short five setter, wasn't it? It was 2-6, 6-4, 6-2, 3-6. The last set went 9-7, which was a great final set, but it wasn't one of those where you kind of the battling out in seven fives and tie breaks and all that. There were quite a lot of breaks of serve in the match.
Yeah, and Stan's that sort of player, you know. Mm. You know, he's the sort of player that for 10 minutes yes. will be untouchable. Yeah. You won't be able to get, and then for 10 minutes he'll be pretty awful. Mm. He's just that sort of guy. And I think one of the factors for that is he actually plays very, very quickly. If you watch him play, he barely takes time between points. I mean, his average, I think, last year was about 15 seconds between points. So there's not a lot of thought process, I think, at times with him. He just gets on with it. And then points do go quickly. So I'm not massively surprised about that. I just think, as I say, I think the big factor for me is that Djokovic has been stung here before.
Yeah.
And I just have a feeling that is going to be in the back of his mind. He seems to be very relaxed. There's been so much talk about Boris Becker, obviously, with the coaching relationship there, having seen the way they're interacting today again. It looks positive for me, I must say. I wasn't convinced by it. But I just have a feeling that, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if this one went five. I think this has got a four or five setter in it again. But I think Djokovic overall on a hard court has just been a little too much, too more consistent. But again, you know, a 3-1 on Wawrinka, you've got to say that's a very generous offering.
Yeah.
For a guy who's a defending champion, hasn't lost this year. Again, let's factor that in. January, the month of January, the stats are incredible. I think he's 20-0 in the month of January.
Wow.
At 3-1, that's a big price.
Yeah, it is. And you know, a lot of people are taking the 7-1 and him winning the title, as I said, because if he was to win the final, then the semi-final arguably could be the favourite in the final anyway. So you know, if you're
absolutely.
On 7-1 and you're in the final and you're in a great position, you can sit back and watch that and back the other player and still make some money. So interesting one, but. The odds for the various Djokovic wins, 3-0 is 5-4, 3-1 is 5-2, 3-2 is 11-2. So you can also back, obviously, number of sets in the match and everything else. Plenty of prices available. Just a recap on the full outright betting. Novak Djokovic, 8-13. Andy Murray, 11-4. Wawrinka, 7-1. And Thomas Burdick is 7-1. The two women's semi-finals see Ekaterina Makarova take on Maria Sharapova and Serena Williams take on her sisters, Victor, Madison Keys. Makarova, Sharapova, first of all, this is 2:30 a.m. on Thursday morning. 100-30 for Makarova, 2-9 for Sharapova. Beat Simona Halep in straights, of course. Sharapova has got 5 wins in the head-to-head with Makarova. And the last 4 in straight sets. You just get the feeling that maybe in this one and the other one, the opponents have come as far as they're going to come, and the two favourites are going to line up a final performance against each other. Do you see that going that way?
Yeah, I do. I mean, for me, this is a little more straightforward than the men's side of things, I must say. Really impressed with Ekaterina Makarova again. Simona Halep was below par. Very, I think, underwhelming performance from Simona Halep in the quarterfinals. You know, I think she came off court and admitted after the pressure effectively got to her. She knew she had an opportunity and she didn't deal with it. And that's pretty disappointing, I think, for a top 4 player in the world. So Makarova made the semifinals of the US Open last year. She's kind of a mini Kvitova, really. Let's be honest. She's a lefty. She's aggressive. She's a fairly kind of big girl in terms of movement. Can be a little bit limited at times. But she's made some major improvements in her game. And she's the sort of player, I think, actually that's benefited from winning a lot of doubles titles because she's a Grand Slam doubles champion. I think that winning kind of habit of being around at the end of majors has certainly helped her. But the head-to-head in this one's not pretty, as you say, 5-0. She's only ever won the one set against Sharapova as well, and that came on clay. So I think you don't really read too much into that. Haven't played in a couple of years. In fact, Aussie Open was the last time they played here, and Sharapova won 2-2. Like always, I think when you get to a semi-final, when you go to this part of the tournament, it feels as though, for me, both Serena and Sharapova have kind of found gears. You know, they've kind of got through that first week, that tricky first week, and really found their gears. And Sharapova was super impressive against Bouchard. I think she'll win this one. I really do. I think Makarova is going to have to serve very, very well if she's to have a shot. I have a feeling this semi-final, though, will be closer than the other one. But I've got to stick with Sharapova. I think maybe two tight sets is probably where my money would be, because Makarova will hold serve. She is a first strike player. She can certainly get Sharapova on the defense, and she has improved a lot. But I've got to stick with Sharapova. In a major semi-final, tough to go away. She's mentally, I think, the best player out there. And I think it would probably be two close sets here.
There's ways of backing that, of course. So the total match games again, 20.5 games is the line. So 5-6 for under, 5-6 for over. When you look at the head-to-heads, only once has there been more than 20.5 games, more than 21 games in a match between them, and that was the time before last at the Miami Masters in 2012, when Makarova took her to a tiebreak. But last year in the Australian Open quarterfinals, Maria Sharapova won. Sorry, not last year, 2013, won 6-2, 6-2. She's won 6-2, 6-3, and 6-1, 6-1. But if you agree with Nick and you think it could go close, then over 20.5 and maybe even on the handicap. Makarova plus 4.5 games, so she starts effectively with a 4.5 game advantage. That's even money. Sharapova in straights is 4-6, and Sharapova by 2-1 is 16-5. Serena Williams versus Madison Keys next. Serena Williams is a prohibitive 1-6. She's 4-6 to win the title, by the way. Madison Keys is priced up at 4-1. Took her just over an hour to beat Kibalkova, 15 aces, 31 winners. Interesting quote from Kibalkova. She said she had no time to breathe on court. And I guess that's what Madison Keys is up against here. This is she's been a great tournament for her. Obviously got rid of Serena's sister. She's got Lindsay Davenport behind the scenes, who I'm sure would love to mastermind a win over both Williams sisters in the same tournament. But once you're on the court, Nick, it's just down to you and Serena.
Yeah, it hasn't been done since 2010 that the player actually beat Venus and Serena back-to-back, I think, or certainly in the same tournament. Listen, my biggest issue with this match now is physicality, because I just feel that Madison Keys picked up an injury midway through the second set against Venus Williams and kind of a little bit hobbled her way through the third. I don't know quite how she won that match, to be fair, because Venus had the break. She was shaky. You know, I think that's where 34, 35 years of age, where she's nearly at now. That's, I think, in many ways, it's where it starts to hurt you. You know, you're just not quite as consistent as you were. And she's had a great start to the year, Venus Williams. She's a great story, and she's battling a number of illnesses, we know. But Madison Keys is hurt. I mean, that's the biggest problem for me here. I don't know how she's going to be able to come out again and be able to just keep, you know, you're talking about being able to match Serena Williams physically, probably the best athlete in the women's side of things. She's going to have to work very hard. She's going to have to get a lot of free points off the serve, something she has been doing, to be fair, but I'm really struggling to make a case here for Madison Keys. You know, I said in the previous chat that I think Serena Williams has found gears here. And, you know, the first week, if you're going to get Serena Williams, it really feels these days as though it's got to be in the first week, you know, because that's where she's been vulnerable, dropping a set in the last couple of rounds. Brilliant against Kibalkova. To be fair, Kibalkova doesn't have the weight of shot to hurt her. So she said she couldn't breathe. Well, the reason she can't breathe is because she can't impact on Serena's game. So I've got to stay with Serena here. I think it's going to be comfortable, personally. I think this could be something like a 6-2, 6-2 scenario. World number one all the way for me.
It looks like a straightforward job, doesn't it? Again, total match games available. Under 19.5 is priced up at 4-5. That scoreline that Nick's just put up there, 6-2. 6-2 would give you 16 games in the match, so even with a bit of breathing room, they're giving Madison Keys a bit of a chance of keeping it close there, which I must admit I got to agree with Nick there. It could be a bit of a blowout here, and Keys has got that little niggle as well, hasn't she? We're told,
which is
tricky when you're up against such a physically dominant player. Handicap betting as well, it's plus 5.5 or minus 5.5. So Serena Williams to beat Peter by more than six games, effectively, which again would the 6-2, 6-2 would account for that, as would the 6-3, 6-3 or any other combinations. I think when I listened to the podcast you did with Alex the other day, Nick, and you were very keen on the Djokovic Serena Williams double. It's obviously been trimmed in price, but you're still getting 17-10 for Djokovic and Williams to win the men's and women's tournaments. I'm presuming that there's been no change in your thought pattern.
Yeah, I mean, Serena for me, firm on now.
4-6 4-6 doesn't look a bad price to me at all. I mean, you know, I know it's an odds-on price and people are a little bit scared of them sometimes, but it's not that short, is it?
No, and I think if you look at her head-to-head with Sharapova, I want to say she's won something like the last 10. So in fact, I've got the head-to-head over here, 16-2, the head-to-head.
Amazing, yeah.
Sharapova hasn't beaten her since, well, goodness knows when.
2004.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, the first three matches, I think she won two of the first three, but since then she's lost every single match against her on every surface you can imagine.
Yep.
They could play on the moon and she'd still lose to her, wouldn't she?
Exactly. So I think Serena all the way on the women's side. Men's obviously a little more tricky just because I think these semi-finals they're on a knife edge, to be honest. I think you can make a case for all four players.
Yeah, definitely. Nick, fascinating to talk to you. We'll talk to you again before the final as well, of course. So enjoy the semi-finals and we'll chat soon.
Good stuff, Lee.
Cheers. Nick Lester there, previewing the men's and women's semi-finals at the Australian Open. Don't forget, we're live on InPlay Radio from 8 a.m. on Thursday, Friday, Saturday and Sunday for all the men's semi-finals and the women's and men's final going through till the end of the tournament. So make sure you tune in. It's www.inplayradio.co.uk. Thanks for listening to this podcast. And if you're having a bet on any of the matches that we've previewed, then very best of luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.